Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now, the perfect triangle.
In the middle of the 19th century, Moses Hess formulated the first written principles of communism. In 1862, Hess, or the communist rabbi as he was called, wrote the book Rome and Jerusalem, in which he laid the foundations for a Jewish nationalist movement called Zionism. In the book, he called on the Jewish people to become separatists and to prepare for the creation of a future homogeneous Jewish ethno-state. Palestine would be occupied by the Jewish people, but the big problem was Palestine was at this time 90-95% Arab. Hess argued that international Jewish bankers would help in this realization of stealing the land from the Palestinians. Hess suggested in his book that one last race and class struggle was being developed between the Aryans and the Semites. In this fight, Hess predicted that the Jews would stand as winners and the Europeans as losers. The Jews would stand superior over all other peoples, and because Jews had preserved their racial purity over the centuries, it would give them a leading role in the world. Hess essentially promoted eugenics and racial hygiene for the Jews, and talked about a future Jewish ethno-state. He also referred to Christianity as the religion of death. Fascinatingly, he predicted a future war in Europe, with Germany, Italy, and Austria involved as part of a race struggle.
For 70 years, they have been digging under Al-Aqsa, looking for Solomon's Peace Be Upon Him temple. Solomon's treasures, Solomon's proof. They haven't found a single stone, and they never will. Since 1967, dozens of tunnels have been dug beneath and around Al-Aqsa. The Barak Wall Tunnel, the Pilgrims Road Tunnel, networks sold as the City of David. Most have been proven Roman, Byzantine, or Islamic. Still buried in Jerusalem, they say. Four theories about where Solomon's treasures went. Still in Jerusalem, taken to Egypt, hidden in Africa from a fictional 1886 novel, buried in Yemen. Every single one has zero evidence. So why do they keep digging? Because a failed American lawyer named Schofield put his own end times notes into a Bible and turned millions of Protestants into believers that a third temple and a thousand-year rule in Jerusalem are the key to Jesus' return. His followers read history like a countdown clock, support unconditionally, rebuild a temple, restart sacrifices, trigger Armageddon. If you are Muslim and you do not study their creed, you will never understand the essence of the conflict. Without the right creed, you will definitely take the L. It is not a land dispute. They have a theology, a timeline, and a blueprint. What do you have? Be honest.
Into ruin, but there is something I can do. Yeah. I watched three towers live on the news. Right away I knew it had to be something to do with Jews. That set us up for what we're going through since then. If we don't prevail, this time is the end. They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Uber Bench. I'm gonna fight until these Jews have been deposed from my land. I see two guys disguised with my superhuman sight. You change your name, you comb your hair to catch the goyim unaware. You fix your crooked nose and work to turn our country's brown. You had us fighting German men, but this is now and that was then. And you can bet that we would back our brothers now. They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Ubermensch. I want all white nations to declare Jews permanently banned. I see right through their lies with my superhuman sight. Crypto guy. But my crew still call me Ubermensch. I'm gonna fight these Jews until they've all been thrown from my land. I see through Christ's disguise with my superhuman sight. Kryptokite, yeah! They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Ubermensch. I'm gonna fight these Jews and you too if you don't take a stand. Next step is genocide, the final solution, right? Crypto guy.
Welcome, mates. I'm Steve Goywin, and today we're hunting for a rare Shabbos-Dye nose. These things were almost extinct in the 1940s, but unfortunately, they're thriving. We'll be using my Judah to locate one of these sneaky bastards. Crikey, mates. If you listen closely, you can hear its mating call.
Holocaust! Holocaust!
Let's go check it out, lads.
Blah, blah, Holocaust. Blah, blah, Nazis. Blah, blah, anti-Semitism.
Crikey, mates, we've spotted one. Notice the strong victimhood. The Shabbister nose is using their hebonic buzzwords to try to elicit sympathy from the native population. A clear manipulation tactic. Let's see if it works.
I don't see why we should care about what happened to him 100 years ago.
Wow, lads. Shabbistye noses are so deadly. You never know if there's a sniper waiting to end your life simply for disagreeing. Let's see what other tricks the bugger has up his tuches. I'll look up in the sky. The Shabbistinos is aerial in a B-52 bomber. This is no good. Lord only knows what it might drop. Crikey. It's a Shabbistinos' worst bioweapon. Nations are raining down from the sky. This is worse than an Armageddon. They airdrop these species into the host population to disrupt the ecosystem. This will make it 10 times harder for the Shabbistinos to get expelled.
Find us! Faster, faster! I'm gonna get you, bees! Keep running!
I'm praying for the lads. These bioweapons are some of the most fierce to exist, almost worse than a nuclear bomb. But let's keep our focus on the Shabbistinos. Blimey, this is no good. The Shabbistinos has now gotten a hold of the native's currency. See how they're clipping the honeycombs. They melt the clippings into more honeycombs, essentially scamming the locals. What a resilient and mind-boggling creature.
Here you go. One for you, one for you.
Cool.
Check, check, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Island Cartel, we keep it right.
The Shabastinosis is using sound and vibration to manipulate and hypnotize the locals into committing atrocities. The use of binaural beats combined with word spells disrupts the mind and aura of the natives. This chaos and destruction is peril to the native population, something truly out of a horror movie. Shabastinosis would rather rule of a destroyed society than let the host population live in peace. Oh lads, now they're using their mystic Kabbalah magic. This is one of the worst traits about Shabastinosis. The red heifer sacrificing. They think if they kill a purebred red heifer and rebuild their third temple, the Antichrist will come and destroy Amalek. What's this, lads? In a wild turn of events, it's raining groypers. You see, when things get this out of hand, a higher power steps in. Frogs raining down represent God's anger with the Shabastinosis actions.
David. I mean, I know you're a sophisticated guy. The world is a mess. The world is as angry as it gets. What, you think this is going to cause a little more anger? The world is an angry place.
The Fourth Reich.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you still hold these Nazi ideals?
You got any better ones? It's you and me.
is the Jew who has done this to America. It is the race traitor who has been bought off for a few morsels of social status and filthy money that has brought us to the level of where we are. White power. But America was white, and America is white, and when it's over, it's going to be all white, because every goddamn Jew is going to die in this nation.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, white Italy, white England, white Germany, white France, certainly white Australia, and every white European legacy nation that our ancestors worked so hard, gave sweat, blood, and tears, their actual lives, to give us a high trust white society that the vile kike, the malignancy that it is, has eaten away to these dystopic, psychopathic levels. I can't even believe that I'm living in the same country I did when I was a little boy in the 60s. It's sickening. But something that's not sickening is this is the second Friday of, by the way, I'm Giuseppe Vaffangulo. This is the Perfect Triangle number 275. It's March 13th. Ooh, Friday the 13th. And the second Friday of every month now is going to be a brand new theme show. The Legends and the NS Ladies, where we've got two up and coming rising stars of FTJ Media, Fashbird, and Non-Kosher Salt, and they've been doing this great series of tutorials, because one of the biggest challenges we all face is the vile kike and its control of Hollywood, control of the mass media, control of education, control of government, has been able to proselytize just an egregious set of lies about the Germans. Basically, I can't stand the pseudoscience of psychology and psychiatry. It's all kike, mind drapery. But sometimes they get it right. And one of the go-to foundational deceptions of the vile kike is projection and transference. So everything that they do, they project onto an innocent white person, or in the past, an innocent German, and claim that the German or the whites of today have done it. And they transfer responsibility, project the responsibility. So fuck them. All right. So, but before we get to that, let's do opening statements from everyone. Of course, let's start with the big dog, the legendiest of legends, James Mason. James, what's on your mind today, brother?
Hey, it's a great day to be alive, everybody. Don't you agree?
Yeah, sure.
The news is kind of good. Attacks going on in Canada, down here, I believe it was in Michigan. And Iran is standing proud and strong.
Right.
And oil's up to $100 a barrel, and it's going to go higher.
Oh, it's going to
rocket. When these poor, dumb jokers over here really start to feel the pinch, you might see some reaction on a massive scale.
Well, that is certainly not outside of the realm of possibilities. The next legend, the legendiest legend in Canada, Paul Fromm. Great to see you, Paul. And what's on your mind and your opening statement?
Oh, well, you mentioned, Giuseppe, that this is the Friday the 13th, and I'm not into numerology, but it's 13 days until the Canadian Association for Free Expression presents Les Borie with the George Orwell for Free Speech Award. So 13
oh,
days.
Oh, wow.
That.
That's very
excellent.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Well, the Free Speech Award, the George Orwell Free Speech Award, was started by Doug Christie, the great lawyer, back in the late 80s. And a lot of very famous people got it, received it over the years. People who had stood up for free speech in many ways. Among them, those of you who follow the English scene, Lady Michelle Renouf at one point, Lady Jane Birdwood. Doug unfortunately passed away in 2013, and that was the last year that autumn the Orwell Award was awarded. And I always thought Doug had started something good. We're not like the Jews who are always honoring their own. It's also a great way to make money. They put on a big, big feast, rubber chicken or something, and they charge a good amount, and they get some high note speaker, usually some political prostitute, and they honor the person for raising a lot of money for Israel or having done this or that for the community. Well, that's not a bad idea. And we tend to be a lot, maybe we're a lot less effusive. I don't know, maybe a lot of people are North European and they're not much into public emotion and things like that. But anyway, I always thought it was a very good idea and it came off very well. So in 2021, I approached Doug's widow, Kelty, and I said, this is kind of fallen by the wayside. Would you have any objection if the Canadian Association for Free Speech took it over and used the same name, acknowledged it was started by Doug Christie? And she said, oh, no, that's fine. So we did, and the first recipient, I shouldn't laugh really, but was Dr. James Sears, who'd been a political prisoner. The system was so outraged when they found out he'd received the Orwell Award, they threw him back in prison.
Oh, no.
Because, well, he had allegedly, by associating with bad people, I guess that's us, violated his parole conditions. I shouldn't laugh, but it's so crazy.
It's so, you got to laugh, otherwise you're going to cry, right?
Yeah. So anyway, that's the history. And the one innovation I've brought about is Doug Christie always used to give the Orwell Award in his hometown of Victoria. Well, Victoria is at the extreme other end of the country for me. Well, not quite extreme, but it's the far, it's, you know, one step further and you're in the Pacific Ocean. And it's hard for people, other than local people, to get there. So what I've done is, one year we have it out west somewhere. We've had it in Edmonton. We've had it in Vancouver. And the next year we have it out east in Toronto. So try to spread it around. Try to make it as open as possible to people. And nobody deserves it more. Nobody has put up with more persecution and absolute elite bullshit than Les Borey. And he's now embarking on a political career. And I think politics is one of the many good ways to get our message out there. So anyway, that's the so on the 26th in Toronto, we'll be giving Les Borey the George Orwell Award. And believe it or not, it's not just a rattly piece of paper. It comes with a few shekels. So
fantastic.
I have to call the bank in Tel Aviv to send us a bag of your old shekels. That's
right. And not the ones that all the edges are clipped.
So. Yeah, well, Les will have to take every coin and give it a chaw just to make sure it's real.
Well, that's so exciting. So are you guys going to do have like a dinner with the presentation? You going to make an evening of it, Paul?
Doug Christie did. There was always an Orwell dinner, but yeah, organizationally, I've been at this a long time. It's extremely difficult. Sure. I don't mean to complain, but people are often unreliable. You know, I don't know if I can afford the dinner. How do you organize on that basis? Well, how many are coming? Well, you don't know. Well, you can't very well tell if a restaurant does a buffet, that you can't very well say, well, we're not quite sure. It could be somewhere between 5 and 500. well, go away. So it, logistically, it just doesn't work. So, but it's, you know, this, it's, he'll get, he'll receive the award. He'll give a short talk. There'll be some questions. And there's always good fellowship. People like to come to the meetings because they can hang out with other people who share the same views.
Oh,
and
sure.
They don't have to worry about it. If they say something, somebody's going to, you know, have a meltdown.
Well, fantastic. Well, let's move on to the recipient of the 2026 George Orwell Award, much deserved, the future Prime Minister of Canada, Les Borie. Les, did you know you're going to get the award, or is this a surprise to you?
Oh, Paul told me already. It was nice of him to do that. It's really nice, Paul. And to get it from Paul Fromm, the senior man of human rights in Canada.
Right.
Paul's been a human rights activist for 65 years trying to prevent the white genocide from happening. Yep. And he's not done yet because the job isn't done yet. He's still in it.
Right.
He's an inspiration to me. I see Paul. I hang out with him, and I know that he works hard. The poor guy goes and he'll drive a long way just to go fetch one person to go to a meeting. And that's, you know, nice. And I see that he's tired sometimes. I worry about him on the roads. But the man's still going, so it's pretty good. And, Paul, here's what happens. And this is why I wasn't at your house on the weekend. Here's what happens when you chew on those coins to test them out. You're going to have to pull teeth out. And there she is, right from the back there. I was stuttering a bit on the show today. I'm not sure if it was just me or if I can blame it on the tooth being missing. I'm not sure. But that's what happened in my mouth. That's why, you know, I was 2 days late trying to get into this election. There's an election right now in Toronto, a by-election in the riding of University Rosedale. There's also a by-election in Scarborough and one in Quebec. There's three by-elections. And I'm trying to get into the House of Commons to try and beat these guys back a bit. But I'm also promoting the Labour First Party, but I'm running as an independent candidate because they're not registered yet. So this should be an interesting thing. It's in a university town. There's a heavy Jewish presence in this place too. And so it's kind of, it feels weird to be around them. I don't encounter them too often at all. I might have even had a couple sign my sheets as far as I know, you know, but I'm glad that they helped and they seemed like decent people. Anybody that helped me, you know, that's the thing. So I'm here to help the folks, but I'm here to help them out of communism. And we know who's an issue with this. We don't want these Israeli representatives to screw our country over too, the way they're doing to all the other countries in the world. They're doing a good job here, ruining it. And we definitely need to walk things back. And the awakening is happening here. I'm hearing echoes of that. I talked to a black fella yesterday of all things, and this guy was wide awake. He even told me that banks print money out of thin air. So that's a good, wonderful thing to see. You know, and if we can get, and my plan is to get the rest of humanity to help stop the white genocide, that would be a good thing for white people. But it'll also be a good thing for the rest of humanity, because the white people, like I always say, we're the shield that protects them. And there's a reason why we're the first on the menu, because right. Once they get rid of us, basically the Zionists have won the gunfight at that point, and they can just have their way with the world. So we're really trying to save the world here, believe it or not. And they call us Nazis and all kinds of bullcrap, but we are the good guys in this fight. And on a weather note today, we've gotten some very strange weather here. I got alerted after the show with Dave this morning that we've got some snow on the ground, and we heard a snowplow go by, and we didn't think we were going to get a whole lot of snow. We've got about maybe 4 inches in a couple hours, and the snow is falling very oddly. It's falling like it's made out of spray foam. I've never
seen snow
like this in my life. I took a picture, like I took a little video of it. I can't share it right yet because it's on my camera still. But it's a strange-looking kind of snow. But anyway, I'm looking forward to qualifying for this election. I've been working really hard, and I've been, you know, out in the rain, in the snow, getting sheets wet, you know, getting messy a little bit because I couldn't get into buildings. Because they couldn't get access to some. They're supposed to get access according to the Elections Canada Act. But anyway, to make a long story short and give everybody else a chance to say hello, that's pretty much it for now, guys. And good day to everybody watching right now, too. And good day to everybody on the panel. It's a pleasure to be with all of you. And Giuseppe, thank you for having me, buddy.
Oh, it's such an honor. You know, it's so the genuine love and concern, you know, it's touching when you mentioned that Paul's been at this since 1965 and he's getting a little long in the tooth, and you worry about him. But you know, I'm drawn to the thought of in the great grasslands of Africa, when the senior elephant
knows it's time. It will just turn around and slowly walk to where it wants to rest, and then it will give up its spirit. And much the way when Paul's driving, when he knows it's that time, he's just going to pedal the metal and ram a synagogue. All right, that happy thought. We'll go next to one of the rising stars of FTJ. Came up with an awesome idea, Fash Academy for Nazi Newbies. And so, welcome, Non-Kosher Salt. And I got to tell you, it's a brilliant idea, and that's why I wanted to have you and Fashbird on once a month to kind of give an overview and help to promote it. We have slightly different audiences at different times. So this is really, I've thought for decades, the most criminal success the Vile Kikes have had is deluding the average white goof or the average, goof period and telling everything that the Vile Kikes did in the East, the Soviet Union, the death camps were in the East, the evil Mengele experiments weren't done by Joe Mengele. He was a nice guy. He delivered a lot of babies. It was in the East, the Jews again. And so I think you're really onto something. If we can wake people up, excuse me, and get them going, we're really going to have a great leg up on everything we want to achieve. So welcome. I think this is fantastic what you and Fashbird are doing, and I'm honored that you'll come and give us an overview once a month. So how are you, and what's on your mind?
I'm good. Hopefully everyone here is having a white power day. It's always good to be here with all of you guys. Fash Academy just kind of, it grew out of my own sense of, like, where do I start when I started learning about all this, and it's hard to find resources. And one of the first resources I found was Fash's BitChute channel, and it was so intensely helpful. So when we kind of met, so to speak, here on FTJ, I was like, oh yeah, we got to do something about this to try and help other people. And we are seeing the tide turn. We're seeing more and more people come to it. And a lot of people I've talked to were just as confused as I was where to start. So that's kind of how it all started.
Oh, fantastic. So let's now go to your co-host and cohort. Let's see where there it is. So Fashbird, welcome, and your thoughts on why you developed this. It's such a vital thing because so many people, even people in the if this is a movement, if there is a movement, don't understand what National Socialism and Third Reich was really about. I mean, because they really haven't read Mein Kampf, they haven't done real historical investigation. So I think what you and NKS are doing is vital. So welcome, and your opening statement.
Well, thanks for having me. I believe that we know that Jews are really manipulative. They play with the words. They try to confuse people. So the way to beat them, in one sense, is to know the truth and to use it against them. If you know little bits of information about, National Socialism, about Holocaust, the camps and all that, then you can come back to them and say, well, I thought it was this, or I thought it was that. I just think that we need to be ready for a real fight, and it's going to be an intellectual fight, a physical fight, and a spiritual fight.
I think that is exactly right. So, one interesting tidbit of news, and then we'll turn it over to the ladies, and I guess we can figure out some type of you guys share some of your show tutorial flow, and then can give the legends a chance to comment. How does that sound when we get to it all? All right, but first I wanted to point out, I thought this was very odd. Yesterday there were two attacks on synagogues, right? There was and a third Muslim attack. Well, let's look at the Old Dominion University one first. So just down the road, about an hour in Richmond, Old Dominion University. So this fella born in Sierra Leone, became a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I think that's may have been how he got to come to the country, join the military. Radicalized by Al-Qaeda, supposedly, according to the libs of TikTok. Convicted for providing material support to ISIS. Sentenced to 11 years in prison. Released from prison under Biden. So this dude went in guns a-blazing to Old Dominion University. I guess he's a Muslim. Yeah, well, sure, his name is Muhammad Jalal. And so, but he was disarmed and ultimately killed by a couple of ROTC students instead of, so one was killed, but this guy was killed, but that's pretty impressive. So that's the first bit of what, so is that, well, I'm going to cover all three things and we'll get everybody's thoughts and then we'll move on to the Fash Academy premiere episode on the Perfect Triangle. So there's the first Muslim blowback. First of many, no doubt. And then we'll go to the profile. My profile. Here's the next one that occurred, which is by, here we go. So check this out. So there was a guy, evidently a Lebanese national, who he is in the U.S. military. His entire family was recently murdered by Israel and the IDF. And so he goes, this is the weird thing in my mind, everybody, is why did he go to, and ramming speed, why did he go to a temple that on a Saturday would have 2,000 kikes in it? This is a huge, huge infestation of Jews in Michigan. Temple Israel is a giant. It's like a, what are the evangelical Christians, the mega church? This is like a mega synagogue. And why did he choose to go and ram it when there's nobody there? You know, I mean, this guy's again military trained, and granted, he's enraged out of his mind with grief. His entire family was wiped out. But you'd think that would make him more sinister and more willing to, you know what? I'm going to use my training. I'm going to make these vile kikes pay. Saturday there'll be 2,000 of them there, and we're going to take care of business. So that's the second one, and that was in. I don't want to make people dizzy with my scrolling. That was in Michigan. Now the third one occurred just up the road, a couple hours from Stafford, about a 2-hour drive if traffic is. If you're driving at midnight, it's 2 hours, 2.5 hours to Baltimore. But there was also was an attack at a casino in Baltimore, and I'm looking for. Let's see, that's the Michigan one still. The Baltimore one. That Baltimore one got hardly any coverage whatsoever. But I happened to catch it live, and I put it in my Twitter, unless they took it down. Let's see. That's still Michigan. I wish there was a way to order these things by date and time instead of having to scroll down. Oh, well, Elon, get on that, Elon. I know you're listening. All right. I guess it should be there, but it's not. I mean, anyway, that was the three. Let's go to James Mason first. How about that, James? Three military personnel, very modest. It almost seems like MK Ultra activations as opposed to military special forces training. Again, that fella in Michigan, had he just used his training, he could have really taken out a lot of kikes on a Saturday, and instead he puts on a show, which basically was meaningless. I mean, he killed himself. He rammed, and the car blew up, and I don't think he even injured any kikes, to be honest. So your thoughts, James? Pretty weak sauce in the way of Islam paying the Jew back in America.
It's a start, however, and it's really got them vibrating, you know. On the Jew news, but like I said in Siege a long time ago, don't hit and run and then hit. In other words, get your thoughts together. Right? Don't yes, do it sir. out of whatever emotion, hot blood. No, do it in cold blood, and make yourself count. Don't sell yourself cheap. Okay, that's all. That's all I say. Now, with regard to the ladies and what they're up to, I believe it was in Jeremiah when he said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And man, it was true then, and it's certainly true now.
Amen.
And I've said at times that, what we were just coming off of, people go off hot-blooded without, and they talk about the greatest generation, how they lost their asses. They lost it all because they had no moral leg to stand on after they had gone and destroyed Europe. No moral leg to stand on, and the Jews just walked over. It was low-hanging fruit at that point.
Yeah.
Now, when you have somebody who's really pissed off, really disaffected by all this, and they want to stand up against it, they have to be able to. Now, we've got the literature. We've always had the literature, but Hitler said it strongest and best. There's nothing like the spoken word. So if these fine ladies want to enlighten some people as to the depth of all this, then they've got my blessings. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Now, let's go next to Paul Fromm. Paul, three instances yesterday of Islamic, two of them, perhaps three of them, all military trained. Actually, it is all three, I think. And it could have done so much more damage. It seems to me that it's almost false flaggish because, you know, here's this, instead of this mega church, this mega synagogue, had he waited till a Saturday and, you know, being a military trained guy, he would have known how to put a bunch of C4 in his car. And then you ram it. If you're gonna sacrifice yourself to go and get those virgins, as it says in the Quran, I mean, do it right. I mean, basically, he wasted an excellent opportunity. So I tend to think all three of these things are just Jewish false flags to evoke sympathy for the eternal victim.
Don Giuseppe, I think you have to look at it racially. In most cases, the Arabs are fuck ups.
Well, there is that.
I mean, not to give the Israelis any undue credit, but after they purged as many as they could of the Palestinians, and when they got their independence, so-called independence, I think it was in 48, the surrounding Arab countries attacked them, Jordan, Egypt, and Syria.
Right.
Well, you would think they would be, you know, the combined, they outnumbered the Jews. You'd think they'd be able to put up a, they'd be able to prevail, but they didn't. And the only unit that was really any good was the Arab Legion in Jordan, commanded by a great British commander, General Glubb, or Glubb, they used to call him Glubb Pasha. The Jordanians were actually Hashemites. I'm not sure if they're Arabs or not, but anyway, that's probably a cynical remark, but that's the first thing that occurred to me. The second thing that occurred to me is it looks good on you. You are the people who you so hated the white people of North America, or I mean the United States. You wanted to dilute the population with mass third world immigration. Well, you scammed and you schemed and you got the immigration law changed in 1965 with that Manhattan Jew Emanuel Seller, and you know America was 90% white when JFK was. It was elected in 1960. It's now, 59% white and falling fast. Well, yes. you done good there. Yeah, didn't you? Well, this is what you figured, you know, third worlders would dilute the United States and the white population. And of course they have, but with a lot of damage. But maybe you overlook the fact they don't like you either. They look upon you wrongly, but they do, as white, and they hate you. And sometimes for the things you've done to them, particularly, you thought you'd protect your property by filling your swimming pool full of piranhas, forgetting that your kids go in swimming. it's your immigration policy. You let these people in, and they may well have. I mean, it's hard to know. I don't think any of them has actually made a statement, or I think they're all dead, but left a manifesto. But it might be they're very upset about the just appalling thing that's being done to Iran. But it's amusing.
It is amusing that's your observation. It is got a lot of merit. They are fuck ups. Look at how they all live and everything. It's just the races should not be mixed. I mean, that's the whole point.
That's right. That's the bottom line.
Yep. All right. Les, your thoughts on these three? Seems like weak sauce. If they would have put a little thought into it, they could have really done some real damage, but they didn't. So.
Well, it seems like a missed opportunity. And not that I'm promoting that kind of thing, but if you look at, you know, what happened and what could have happened.
Well,
like
exactly.
You said, the person didn't seem to be going for the maximum amount of results here. That's just as well with me right now, because we don't want to see these things used against us, right? Like you saw what happened in Australia. It wasn't even white guys that did stuff, and they went and banned the National Socialist Network.
Right.
You know, that's insane. And I'm sure they got plans to do that. Who knows? Maybe this will justify them using force against people like us as well, right? Taking down the white race.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see the Muslims and the whites get together and, make things better. Then the whites can go back to their Arab countries after, once we clean up the mess there, right? Because as long as Israel's out there with America helping them destroy these places, these people don't have anywhere to live. They can go back and die, or they can come here. But we don't want them misbehaving when they're here and laying everything on us, because there are a lot of us that are trying to oppose our own governments in this kind of thing, right? Because we don't like these kind of unnecessary killings, basically. There's no reason to go into these Arab countries and do them any harm at all. They haven't bothered us.
That's a very good idea. Get the Zionists off their back. Let them develop and enjoy their own homelands. It's their homelands. And there is vast oil wealth in the Middle East. These folks should have a good standard of living. Unlike, and in some ways, I think about Canada. We should be, as Huey Long said, like kings. We should be every man a king. We've got the huge natural resources, but because of the green psychopaths in Ottawa and massive incompetence, we're not using or not fully using these and enjoying what nature gave us. But anyway.
Well, thank you.
That's a great point.
Yes.
Great point.
And what I'm doing on the campaign trail while I'm out there right now, I'm trying to run in the same riding that Mr. Watka is riding and running in right now, the University of Rosedale riding. When I'm encountering people that aren't white, I'm being a good ambassador for us with them. And I'm suggesting that we work together to correct these issues. I'm telling them about white replacement and things like that. But I'm also telling them I respect their worldview, because it's not the worldview of idiots, right, where they think that, we should serve these murderers, right? They know better. So we're trying to harness what's been brought to harm us, and we're trying to turn that around on the enemy. And I'm giving them a political option so that they don't have to feel like they need to resort to these measures because they're desperate. What we can do is we can use our mouths and our efforts, hand out some flyers and talk to a lot of people, and we can take Canada back from these Zionist communists and live a nice life. And then because it's going to be a lot better for Muslims to go back in the path. They're not going to get persecuted here, but I don't think they like the way we live that well, and it's probably not good to raise their kids here with our influence, because it's not the same as theirs in their eyes. So the sooner that we can clear out their countries and make them safe for them to return, it'd be a nice thing to see, you know, just just because we're decent human beings. And we're going to do good. We're not going to have – I don't want to fight any more brother wars. I want to fight a real war for some real good and then have a real good outcome at the end of it all. And Giuseppe, I almost forgot, and Eli asked me to go on to a show at 2 o'clock today. Like, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So I think –
well, let's give you your final statement then, and then we'll turn over to the ladies right after the top of the hour promos and saying hello to chat, and we'll get on with the first Academy episode. You know, one thing you brought up, though, Les, great point. I don't have the Latin memorized, but I have the English translation, which is enemy of my enemy is my friend in certain instances. And right now you'd think that real whites and Persians, enemy of my enemy kind of temporary alliance would make a lot of sense.
Well, I like to make it more than just a temporary alliance, you see, because once the enemy is gone, then your enemy is not your friend anymore.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. We don't want that kind of a vacuum to develop afterwards. Once it's done, we don't want to be looking at each other like, what's next, with our fingers on the trigger. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's a bad place to be. So we're just going to do this thing in a civilized way, and we'll see what the outcome is, and it should be a good one. I know there's a lot of things against us, and it's all corruption. It's got everything to do with corruption. And a lot of these people know what that is. They've come from corrupt societies as well. Even before the Zionists screwed them up, they had a bit of corruption where they came from, I'm sure. Right? So they're going to, I think, breathe a breath of fresh air once they get a chance to elect me. We'll see what happens in this riding. It's a long shot for sure. But I see a lot of opportunity for change in the riding. There's a lot of foot traffic on the streets. And that means that basically it's almost like having an internet channel. You can just stand there with a sign. You're going to get a lot of people to see that thing.
Right.
So I'm going to go out there with some economic messaging to bring people around. And I think that's how we're going to get this thing in. It's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to it. I was just thinking of getting my name on the ballot just to promote the party and then have people come to the website. But I think despite the cost, I'm going to go to Toronto after I get into this election. If I manage to qualify, there's no guarantee. I am trying. I'm not fooling around. But sure. Like I said, nothing's guaranteed. And I'm just over halfway right now. Plus, I've got to give it a bit of a buffer, right, just to make sure all these names pan out. So sure. I'm only on about 54 signatures right now. I'd like to at least double that in a bit, right? That's what I'm going to go for. But anyhow, when I'm there, basically, like I said, I'm going to be an ambassador, and I'm going to do it on the ground, right in their faces, because there are so many people walking around. It's amazing down. There's a couple streets, and to stand there with a sign that isn't controversial, we'll say, everybody likes money, right? Everybody likes air. You know, you got to breathe, got to eat, right? So these are the things that we're promoting, just basic human needs and how to get them at a lesser price and, you know, to benefit the public, and how they can get more benefits as well. Like seniors will get like $800 a week Canadian, and that $800 a week will take place or will be given to them at a time when the economy is so much better, right? So that'll be even way better than it would be now. So this should be good. It should be a fairly easy sell. I hope word gets around. I'm going to tell students we're going to pay them to go to school. I'm going to stand right in the gates of the university where there's a lot of students walking by, and I'm going to let them know that in the future they can graduate without student debt and get paid to go to school, and we'll back that payment with their labor. We're going to tell them they can learn their wages into existence. That's a good way to earn their wages into existence using this new economic system we're bringing in. So that's pretty much it, everybody. It was nice to be with you again, Giuseppe and Fashberg, James Mason,
absolutely,
Paul Fromm, Non-Kosher Salt. And a good day to everybody out there listening and watching, and everybody in the chat. It's been a pleasure. And I saw Kermie gave me a greeting in the chat. Good day, Kermie. It's always good to see you, brother. And everybody, just have a great day. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. And good day.
Great day and great weekend. Tell Pastor Eli we say hello and look forward to seeing both you fellas here on Mondays. Sane Asylum. So have a great show over there, Les.
Thanks very much, guys. See you. It's nice cat, James. All right, bye-bye. Boys.
Ladies,
good day. See ya.
All right. So let's go next to Non-Kosher Salt. NKS, what do you think about these three kind of weak sauce false flags from the enraged, heartbroken Muslims?
Oh, I think they were exactly as strong as they were intended to be, personally. You know, yeah. I think of these as false flag mini-sodes. They can't risk doing the big false flags anymore. I mean, we're all old enough. We remember not just September 11th, but the morning of September 12th. That was one of the biggest events, right? And everybody just pulled together. It unified us. in a way right. that we haven't seen since. So I think this is why they're doing these multiple across the board mini false flag attacks. It's meant to distract. It's meant to divide. And they're doing the different types of them because it hits different groups. Some people are going to be feeling bad for one type, some for another. They're kind of, think of it like buckshot, basically. Just my opinion.
That's a scattergun. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, Fashbird, your final thoughts, then we'll do a quick promo, and then we'll turn it over to you ladies for the first Fash Academy on the Perfect Triangle. So what do you think? This was I think NKS is exactly right. They can't risk a big false flag because there's so – I mean, the kikes are constantly whining about anti-Semitism is on the rise, 50%, 56%. What are we going to do? So your thoughts.
Yeah, it's really giving off wooden door.
right.
They're going to drive a car into a building that's as big as that one was, and you think that was going to do anything. No, that's a wooden door. I think they like to push that Muslims are the enemy while the Jews are good. During a war, they're going to try to gain more and more sympathy. They always try to make it good versus evil. When in reality, we know who the real evil is.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Excellent observation. And that brings our one to a close. So let's say hello to everybody in the chat and bring that up right now. Let me turn off, scroll on the auto scroll. All right. That's off. Okay, so Snack Waffles heard James's cuckoo clock. That's just so cool to be able to hear those. I remember my German grandparents had a couple of those when I was a kid. So let's see, Vocational Science of Freedom. Great to see you. And he sees James's cat too.
Oh my God! Yes.
Lisa from Germany. Hello, glad to see you here. Lori, thank you for your donation of $10, first one of the day. Appreciate it, truly. Kermie's here. Klax and SS is here. Let's see. Klax says, that Snack Waffles crazy story, and I'm not convinced it wasn't just the training exercise false flag. You never know. That's true. What about the trade school, too? I guess these guys, I'm kind of coming halfway in a conversation. I shouldn't do that. All right, so Filthy is here. Is that the fella from Australia? The dude who does the rap songs? I haven't seen him in a while, if that's him. Good to see you, brother. I haven't seen you in a long time. Klaxon SS is here. Again, great to see Vocational Science of Freedom here. Hey, Fastbird's in the chat. That's pretty cool. Kermie's here. I think I might have said that already. Oh, that's a pretty cool vocational major and image there, Fashbird. That's a pretty cool.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, that is good. Let's see. So, Straight Out Swampton's here. Great to see my buddy Dave down the road. Non-Kosher Salt's in the chat, too. That's fantastic. And ba-dum, boom, bum, 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 Kermie. what does that say? Purple. You know, I gotta admit, I don't get that. Does anybody know what that graphic is? He's holding a purple O.
No, beats me.
I don't know. Kermie, what's that supposed to mean? That's great.
That's an in-joke between Kermie and Snack Waffles from other chats.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so then we don't know. All right. Hey, UK Steve's in the chat. Steve, I sent you the link. If you got time to come into the show, you're always welcome. But there's the real world, of course. Walther Mauser is here. My bad. He said ODU is in Norfolk, Richmond. That's right. They do have a branch in Richmond, and ODU, the main campus is Norfolk. That's right. Great point. All right. okay. Let's see. Serbian Bull, the great ones here, great friend and brother to FTJ. And always great to see the Bull. Thomas Dwyer. Oh, by the way, next week is going to be the first Perfect Triangle LV, Legends and Veterans. So Thomas, I know you're a vet. Hopefully you can join the show next Friday. And anybody else would like to join, John Blastin Bastin, retired Navy, is committed, and Johnny Sunshine's going to jump in. So any other veterans want to come in and be part of every third Friday is going to be the Legends and the Veterans. So between those two groups, we should be able to fix things. There's Bright Raven. That's a new name. Great to see you. Welcome. There's Michael Sister Nino, the Paisan. Great to see you. And don't forget, FTJ just basically runs on its own steam, right? Dave Gahari owns these various imprints, Turning the Tide Publishing, Erasing the Liberty, Moonrock Books, Money Tree Publishing. He's been doing it for a decade. You know, revisionism is basically telling the truth, because the victors write the lies of history, and boy, the kikes tell some whoppers, that's for sure. It's all specious, egregious perfidy. Anything that we're, and again, an hour or two, we're going to start to dismantle all that with Fash Academy. But in the short term, other than, let me put that banner on right now. All right. Here it is right here. 10% off. Use the code GMAN, four letters. Delivers you 10% off at Banned by Amazon. So basically everything Dave sells was banned by Amazon. So he used Jiu-Jitsu with his tech guys, and they put up a bannedbyamazon.com, which does have a processor, so it can take credit cards and debit cards. And other than the Siege audiobook, which is an amazing bargain at $25, and the great t-shirts, which are $25, those don't get the discount. Everything else does. And if you want to use crypto, you go to Money Tree Publishing, and crypto's just all over. It's swerving like a Southside Milwaukee drunk after third shift working, and then going to the bars in the morning, and then swerving home about 2 o'clock to go to bed, to get up, to go to work, and do it all over again. So that's what crypto's doing these days. It's just everywhere, but it's under attack, of course. And who knows what the end game is there. I mean, the more you research crypto, the more you see, once again, it's not what it purports to be. Its history is inaccurate. So there you go. And finally, don't forget, I put it in the chat, right, our brother Alfred. Someday he'll be back in the chancellor's chair, and he loved doing these shows, and we loved being with him. And I've got to get another letter out. I'm Ben Delinquent. But right there at freespeechmonica.com, and I'll put it in the chat again, but right there is the address. Alfred Schaefer, JVA, Bernau, Baumeister 81, 83233, Bernau, Germany. All right, that's the final thing. And then finally, the main thing, I guess I'll have to load it here. FTJ. The main thing is, you know, it's awesome that if you join FTJ Pro, there we go, there's the top. FTJ Pro, $5 a month or $50 a year, and you get to be meme lords and meme goddesses, which is fine. It's awesome. It's fun. It's great, great camaraderie and meet online friends. But there's, you could be doing so much more, and literally – these vile kikes and their legion of evil minions, the trannies, the faggots, the bull dykes, the woke communists, the Bolshevik 2.0 psychopaths. Huh, that's something new at the very bottom. We've got shorts now, just like you, YouTube. How about that? I didn't know that. But there you go. Here's brand new FTJ Pro content creators. First Fire 508, I believe he's down in Australia. Or no, a fucking white male's down in Australia. And there's Lady Michelle Renault. She's been putting up some videos, which is great. Again, the Reich Flyer Network. And again, Dave with Germar is doing once a month the Holocaust, and it'll be probably Well, if episode one was Saturday, March 7th, they're probably going to do the first Saturday of every month. I'm guessing that. Casey Whalen, by the way, Casey wants to do a documentary on the legendary Jim Fetzer. He's trying to raise money. Gifts and Go. I'll have to go get that link. And if you guys can donate, Casey's a great guy, a great documentarian and citizen journalist, and he's worth supporting. And he's a real nice guy, real shy guy. And but anyway, I could keep scrolling, but the point is Dennis Weiss, legend, he's here putting up stuff. Der Adler, I think she's a German, and she's doing it. And so you should be too. I mean, it's fine and fun to do the memes, but really we're getting to a point where the kikes literally are trying to take away our First Amendment. You got all these billionaire pedo cannibals claiming that the First Amendment shouldn't be allowed anymore. Well, fuck you, kike. It's always going to be allowed because truth wins out. The divine wins out. All right, so that's everything. And so with no further ado, ladies, how would you like to do it? How would you like to NKS and Fashburn? Do you want to I guess you tell me.
I'm not sure what if you're looking for recaps of individual episodes or if we want to start out this time with just a recap of the concept in general and how we've been running it.
Yeah, perfect. Let's do that first and then we'll see what questions the guys have once you've done the recap. My first question is have you done enough or got enough feedback to know like what lies resonate with the average person as opposed to what lies they're still believing? Have you come in? Are you making any headway, I guess, is my question. But let's start with how's it all going? You guys let us know.
I mean, I think it's going great. I think you'd agree, right, Fashbird?
Oh, yeah. No, I think we were made to work together.
Yeah. Instant symbiosis. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, I went to Fashbird like, hey, would you want to do this? And thankfully, she loved the idea. And it just, like I said, it grew out of this concept of people don't understand the lies. They understand there are lies. They've right. come that far, but it's so hard to pick them apart. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of pick a topic and we run with it for however many weeks it takes to kind of cover the different spread. Like our most recent one has been the death camps. What was it we did before that, Fash? That was, picking apart the different ways that the Jews attack the nuclear family, right?
Yes, through feminism, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so we kind of, like I said, we pick a topic and we kind of subdivide it, and Fash brings amazing content, and we try to be kind of chat interactive so, like, people can pop in with questions so we can answer them kind of in real time, which is really helpful. It really almost is like an online classroom, I feel.
Well, that's fantastic. Let's go to James and then Paul. What do you guys think? I think this is just a brilliant thing because, again, we're up against since the late 40s. Well, no, even during the war, the gaslighting propaganda of the Jew was just so egregious, over the top. I remember, I think it was in let me go find the exact name of the book I'm thinking of. It's Myth of German Villainy, Brenton Bradbury, who passed a few years ago, and his family gave the rights to the book to Jim Rizzoli, and Jim Rizzoli said, Dave Gary, you want to clean this up and put it out? And Dave's like, you bet, let me add it. And I know it's interesting in that book. I don't know if you guys have probably perused it, at least if not having read it, but the way that the Germans always were high-minded, that all Europeans were brothers, whereas the vicious prick Churchill and the kikes backing the guiding the U.S. and the European response were total, you know, tell any lie. The Germans are eating babies. They're cooking them in ovens and blah, blah, blah. And it's like Germany almost won the war with one hand tied behind his back, didn't they, James? So your thoughts?
Well, yes. Damn, they came close. A stalemate, a mere survival, would have been to win that war. But the enemy wasn't going to permit that at all. No way. They couldn't afford to. So, the truth must die, according to them. And I suppose for a time it did. It went underground. I think it's trying to surface now through our good efforts. And the ladies are doing a marvelous job, something that's been long overdue.
Right.
I used to talk before the University of Phoenix up here. All these people, they were beginning to go nuts then, which is why I was there. They wanted somebody to speak on the school violence and gang activity. Sure. And so I said, okay. Well, people are going off the rails because they know they're fed up with things the way they're lined up presently, but they don't know where the hell to turn because the truth has been buried.
Yes.
And even demonized, even criminalized. So, and as I said, they don't teach this stuff. Well, of course they don't teach this stuff. They can't. But now the ladies are starting to turn this around, and you have my congratulations, my blessings, and good luck, and it's long overdue.
Oh, amen. Paul Fromm, your thoughts on this noble effort of Fash Academy?
I think any effort to educate people and to provide our people with hope, and the hope's going to come through knowledge. I think a lot of people they see things that are wrong. They feel they in their gut they feel some of the truth, I think, among other things, they need to know about our great people. That they need to feel good about themselves. They need pride, and I don't mean gay pride. they need to be rightly proud, not vainly proud. The European race has achieved so much compared to everybody else.
Absolutely,
and. Each of our countries has a glorious history, and led by men, and in some cases women as well, who were extremely brave and insightful and did great things. We have every reason to be proud. We have been the objects of a, I'm going to say 50, but could go back even further, year campaign of trashing our past, trashing our institutions, and trying to make white people feel useless, feel immoral. One of the things we object to so much up here in Canada is what's called the land acknowledgement statement, and they start a lot of public meetings like that, and even prostitute businesses do the same. So if we were starting this afternoon, as we should have, said we meet this afternoon on the unceded territory of the black ass people who have occupied this land since time immemorial. The implication is we stole it. Well, we didn't. Almost all of Canada has been obtained by treaty and agreement. Wasn't stolen. And the notion that the Aboriginals were here from time immemorial, that's bullshit too. In most cases, whichever tribe was in a particular area, they genocided another tribe, a few hundred years before.
Of course.
Genocided exactly another tribe. For instance, Chief Joseph Brant, who was a Mohawk, fought with the British in the War of Independence. So after the Revolutionary War, the British wanted to reward him, so they allowed him and I think about 6,000 of his people to come up to southwestern Ontario, and they gave Chief Brant and the Mohawks a land grant, which I think was about 10 miles on either side of the Grand River, which goes from Lake Ontario up past Kitchener, Ontario. Lake Erie. Over the years, they have sold parts of this off and so on. So, how did General Haldeman, his name was General Haldeman, how did he get a right to hand over this swath of territory? Okay, he bought it from a tribe that were called the Neutrals.
Yeah.
And so he bought the land, so that was legitimately purchased from those Indians to give to these other Indians. Well, how did the Neutrals get it? As I understand it, this was researched by a local historian a few years back. Well, they genocided the previous owners about 200 years before. So somewhere around the 1600s, they genocided the original owners. So give me a break. They haven't been the custodians of the land since time immemorial. It's just a crock of guilty crap. And I was talking to one of our great free speech martyrs. He was the recipient last year of the George Orwell Award, Pastor Bill Walcott. Anyway, and we were talking, and we both agreed that when somebody throws this at you, we must have a land acknowledgement. I'm inclined to say to them, do you believe that? Like, do you really, really, really believe you're living on stolen land? Well, if you believe that, why don't you, instead of some yappy statement, why don't you take the deed to your house and sign it over to the nearest Indian tribe? And like, if you think you're living on stolen land, do something about it. But don't try to, hornswoggle me into this pathetic guilt thing. We don't usually open our meetings in Toronto with something like this. We meet tonight on the land our European ancestors legitimately bought, and which they developed from basically a swamp into a thriving modern city with roads and hospitals and subways and schools and all those good things. And do we feel guilty? Absolutely flipping not.
That's brilliant, literally. So back to NKS and Fashbird. So how did you guys, tell us a little bit more about how you came up with the idea for the Academy, and give us some insights into the feedback you're getting, and are there any areas that really shocked you as to the, you know, people still believe these crazy lies when it shouldn't be anymore?
I mean, I'm shocked every week. just personally, I learn something new every week where I'm like, are you serious? People bought this crap. Yeah. Sometimes I can laugh about it. Other times it's just like the most epic of facepalm moments. But that's really, I mean, like I said, you know, I started learning all this by watching the content Fashbird posts. So being able to connect with her and kind of kick around ideas. And I mean, I think she was genuinely glad to do it, hopefully.
Oh, for sure.
That's awesome. Well, Fashbird, how did you begin? Your Telegram pages are just full of, at this point, almost millions of pages of videos and documents, and it's just an impressive body of work. So how did you decide to become a historian and try to tell the truth about the Reich and Hitler and Germany?
Well, I've been doing this for about 10 or 11 years. At first, I just couldn't believe that I had been lied to. I didn't come in hating Jews. I came in hating niggers first. So I started reading, and I'm just like, I can't believe they lied. And then, you know, you hear about Lusitania, you hear about this, you hear about that. You're like, what didn't they lie about? So I grabbed everything I found and saved it, because I just knew that down the line, eventually they're going to be erasing a lot. And I want to pass these off to other people, and we need to keep it alive, or they're going to change everything like they've been trying to all along. But as far as Fash Academy, NKS she's done a lot of the creativity, she brings it out, because I'm more of just numbers and logic. I'm not creative. I don't have that mm-hmm. bit in me, but that's why I think we work so well together.
Yep, very well balanced.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, question for both ladies, and I'll turn it over to James and then Paul. So what blows your mind the most as far as people still believing? Like, does it stun you that they haven't looked at the fact of how long it takes to cremate a human body? So there's no way these lies can be real, or what are you coming around that's really raising your eyebrows?
I mean, there's been a lot of things. I think the level of sheer ridiculousness of some of the claims, like there's the one that always sticks out is the Jewish babies in soccer balls.
Right. Right.
Like, it's more of an overarching theme. How can people believe something so ridiculous and also so repetitive? It's not just ridiculous. It's repetitive to the point of, okay, now you're overselling the story, but people still don't buy on. It's that lack of that phrase the left likes to spin around, critical thinking.
Right.
That's what really gets to me.
I don't know, I just can't believe that anyone would believe the numbers. So they claim that, you know, they try to push the 6 million. There were only five, well, some people say six death camps under Germany. At one of them, they claim to have had almost 1 million people killed. But this was a tiny camp with just a couple of buildings on it. It was a transit camp at the Polish border. So when you start looking at the details, it's like, well, that would be impossible. There's nowhere to even bury that many people. Do you know how much space you would need even for just the bone fragments and the ashes and the teeth that would be left behind once you cremated them? A million people, it's going to be hundreds of thousands of pounds of bone fragments and ash. That would still leave a footprint.
Yes.
And we have yet to see any real mass graves.
Yeah.
We've seen smaller ones through the Katyn massacre and all that, but we've never found one with hundreds of thousands of people in it.
No.
Oh, because there are none. So you will never find them, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, James, any questions for the ladies in this amazing new initiative, the Fash Academy?
Well, again, I admire you so much for what you're doing. And I flash back to those times, about twice a year, even before University of Phoenix, I would go up to Columbus, Ohio, and to Worthington High School and address the political science class. These were all 18-year-olds getting ready to graduate. They knew who I was. Of course, I wasn't there in uniform. You don't do that. And right. Among the other things I would bring up would be how many of you in the audience, it was a pretty big audience, how many of you know how many GIs died in the Second World War? And nobody did. Now, how many of you know how many Jews died in the course of the Second World War? Oh, everybody knew that, even though it was a fictitious number. And I said, well, no, there's that should tell you a little bit of something. That the people that are supplying your information or pumping these lies to you, where their emphasis is at. Well, Rockwell would do this sort of thing, and I said, you get limited success. That's about all you can hope for. But he called it setting their minds. And I hope that's what I was doing. But as I've said on some of our shows on FTJ, what we're really doing here is testifying. We are standing up, telling the truth before God and the whole universe, and let the chips fall where they may.
Look, we're joined by the Shav Kahari, Dave Gahari. Welcome, Dave. Great to see you. And what's on your mind, Dave?
Hey, G, I just wanted to stop in because I'm getting a break from the phone.
Busy week, yeah.
Bit very busy. It's crazy. But in regards to that event that's taking place in West Virginia at the end of this month, because of things that are unfolding, for me, I might not be there, and I'm going to wait till this week coming up to know for sure.
Oh, okay.
But so there's a possibility I won't be able to make it there. So I just wanted to say that because I was all excited about it and other people.
Yeah, you were, right.
There's people coming and coming and going. And that's it. Hello, non-kosher salt. Hello, Fashbird.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, hello, Paul. Well, Paul's gone. He's probably off on a phone call.
No, Mr. Mason? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Long time no here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. NG, great to see you. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to hear anything. So when I came in, you were talking about something about the ladies' roundtable. So.
Well, actually, we're talking about the Dave. Let me bring it up. I think one of the most brilliant initiatives is there. The ladies have come up with the Fash Academy for Nazi newbies, and that's the biggest challenge. Is the Kike since World War II has had just a brilliant push of being able to lie with impunity and with perfidy. And all their gaslighting, specious nonsense about what went on in the German labor camps as opposed to the Soviet Jew death camps to the east. And to me, this is the biggest challenge we have is, you know, why is it that sane white men and women refuse to just look at the basic science of, to cremate 130, 140-pound human takes how many hours, and you're claiming that these ovens with wooden doors were just being pushed to capacity. It's just such nonsense.
Well, I experienced something, G, just yesterday, and I think it might answer that question. So I ran into a fella, and I as you know, I don't really talk to people except for us. But somehow it came up about Iran and this and that, and the guy was about my age, and he said that somehow it got to the Jew, and I didn't. Hello, Paul.
Hi.
I didn't instigate the conversation in regarding this thing, but he said basically, and I'm paraphrasing, that he just learned that the Israelis are not the Israelites of the Bible, and he learned that from Tucker Carlson.
Whoa. That's right. He's covering that now, yep.
Yeah, who had interviewed somebody, maybe it was Huckleberry or another guy, and he never knew this whole time. So I think the issue is they don't dig for information like we do. That's what it is.
I agree.
Totally. Yeah, so that's really why. Why can't they put two and two together about, the fake gas chambers? Why can't they put two and two together about Building 7? Why can't they? I mean, we could just go on and on for the rest of our lives.
Right.
They don't think about it. They don't think about it until it's introduced to them by somebody that they trust, who's on television or, who has a prominent presence. Of course, we are nothing, for them, because who are we? You know, and like I've said over and over again, we could say what we want, and they go, yeah, well, why aren't you on television?
Yeah.
They are, because then we'd have to explain why we're not on television.
Right.
But I think that's what the issue is. So the Goyim are waking up, obviously, but it's taking an awful long time. Because they don't have any thirst for knowledge. And that's what differentiates us right here and the audience from them. And I think that that's grounded in and based in the fact that we are not offended by any thought or idea.
Right.
They are offended because they're emotional. We're not emotional.
And well, we're emotional, but we're a healthy kind of emotional. They're a toxic, deranged emotion, irrational emotion. I mean, I think that's the key parameter.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Their emotions override their thought.
Right.
And our emotions are in check for whatever reason or reasons. Right. And we're able to look at something without going, like I use that example of, you know, the neighbor coming out on Saturday to do yard work, and he meets his other neighbor, and they wave to each other, talking across the white picket fence, and, you know, the one neighbor says, you know, so what have you been doing? And the guy and the other neighbor says, oh, I've been going on the internet lately. And the other neighbor says, oh yeah, what have you found? You know, and these are I guess these are boomers, right?
Right.
And the guy says, well, I said, you know, I've been looking into the moon landing, and you know, I'm not sure if I believe the United States went to the moon. And the neighbor goes, he like chuckling, of course we went to the moon. You saw it on TV. You know, the guy says, yeah, I know, but I'd chuckle off going to weed the garden or mow the lawn.
Right. Yeah.
The next week, they come out on Saturday. They see each other wave. One neighbor says, hey, Bill, have you been going on that internet? And Bill goes, yeah, I have. He goes, all right, what'd you find out now? The guy says, well, you know, I've been studying World War II and the Holocaust. And the one neighbor, you could see he stiffens up a little bit because of his programming. And he goes, yeah. You know, it's not a laughing matter anymore because there's a moon. Yeah. You know, I just don't see how 6 million Jews could have been killed by Germany. What? What did you just say? So this is the difference. The difference is that one neighbor is doing the research. Nothing bothers him because it shouldn't. He's reading about a topic or learning about a topic that is a topic. But the other neighbor has been so steeped in this shit, and coupled with his inability to think clearly because his emotions override his thought, that's what we're dealing with. And I think that illustrates it perfectly, and that's why we're not able to make much ground with family, friends, strangers, and that's why people like us congregate in places like this.
That's a great point. Let's go back to the ladies. Is that what kind of drove you ladies to put this all together, to give Dave that great story that the average goof is just so sure, so comfortable in being lied to? It's sad.
I mean, for me, yes, to a certain extent. You have these people that have been so, like you said, the one neighbor, he stiffens up as soon as you say that word Holocaust. We've been so programmed and brainwashed to just gets out and, oh, you can't even look at it. You say the word Holocaust, people shut it down. So most people are just so unaware of even the individual claims from camp to camp, let alone, you know, anything greater. They hear Holocaust, they think pile of shoes, they think dead Jewish babies, and that's it. They never look further because they have been so conditioned to be scared to. Because that's the big thing. They're scared. And I'm like, no, if more people actually knew what some of these individual claims were, they would immediately just be like, huh? I know I did. I don't know. Maybe I'm putting too much faith in people, but I think a lot of it is just.
I think that's a comfortable lie in Canada, Europe, to a lesser degree, Australia, and New Zealand. And, you know, they're not motivated to change because this spread of the Kike malignancy has been very subtle up until the last, 20 years. And now it's just off the chain. And they're not hiding and skulking in the shadows anymore and wielding power covertly. They're now feel emboldened with this backing of these batshit crazy evangelical Zionist Judeo-Christians. And so now they're all, you know, they're all the door is slammed behind them. They're all these ugly, evil little demon gremlins, and they're not hiding it anymore. But to me, that's an opportunity, especially for your ongoing series and for when you appear here once a month, the second Friday to take some of these most egregious lies and just, you know, whap people on the forehead with the virtual ball peen hammer and get them to snap out of their entrancement. Your thoughts?
No, I think the Jews have made many whites comfortable through the decadence. They've gotten lazy. They've forgotten the laws of nature, the law of tribe. And when you get people in that position, most of the masses just won't. They won't take an extra step if they don't need to. But I think that there are some people out there who are maybe afraid to bring up conversation on certain topics. And I think them seeing or hearing other people talking about it could give them, you know, the guts to come out and start talking about it too. Because I can tell you, my family was not happy when I started questioning things. Sure. But it was eating at me. I needed to know the truth. So
me too.
Until I met some people on the internet, I didn't really have anyone else to talk to about it.
Sure.
So I think that we need to keep spreading the word. We need to have people be proud of themselves to get back to the laws of nature and get these kikes out of the country.
Yes. Great point. Paul Fromm, you've been at this a long time. You were a high school teacher in Canada in 1965 when I was only 6 years old down the road in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And you've been at this for now, what, 50? No, 60.
I've been politically active since 65, but I was not a high school teacher in 65. I was only in grade 12.
Well, sure you were. You were teaching. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, my bad. But still, you've been at this a real long time. So I mean, to me, you know, like, I don't know if up in Canada, but here in Northern Virginia, and then you keep coming south to Stafford County, there's all these little businesses with these tutorials in strip malls where take your kid there, and the public school isn't teaching them enough to, so you pay a little extra money and you get one-on-one tutorial or small group tutorial tutoring. And that, to me, that's what this needs to explode into, the Fash Academy, because all we have to do is get people to learn how to pan for their own gold nuggets of truth in revisionism, as opposed to just drinking the bilge. I mean, they literally drink it. They swallow it whole instead of, you know, panning. And, oh, there's no way that 6 million could die at Auschwitz. Oh, you know what? They even lowered the numbers themselves. And yet these vile kikes and this international anti-Semitism definition, all that, that even though they admit it's not 6 million, it's 6 million. It's just so deranged and so batshit crazy, Paul. But the only way, as you were a high school teacher later, one of the key elements I've noticed in teaching young people is repetition, right? You have to drill it into their heads multiple times, and that's what we're looking at with Fash Academy, I would think. Your thoughts?
No, I think that's true. Repetition is very important. I mean, for all of us, you know, if our memory is a bit failing, you know, we write ourselves notes because, you know, it's just because you hear an idea once is not, it doesn't necessarily click or remain with you. You have to make people comfortable with ideas, and I think repetition is one way. Another thing I find is if you can get an alpha person in a circle of friends to adopt a view, very often it's easier for others in that group to accept the same idea. I think we're trying to find where we can leadership people who can influence their friends. If a prestige person within a circle picks up an idea, then the others who tend to be followers will more readily follow along. But partly because, unfortunately, many people don't research things; they're not curious. They would not have many arguments to refute the alpha person with. because other than, well, I saw it on TV or, you know, that's what they told us in school, you know, about 6 million.
That's so true. Now, James Mason, then Dave Gahari, we've got this situation where, James, you know, you went out in public and tried to wake people up in a big way over the decades. And what's it like when you run into this hubris where you're telling them truth, you can prove it factually, but they know they're right, even though they're wrong? What's right. that light been like for you?
St. Paul said it in one of his letters, and it goes, it's very short, very sweet. Because I tell you the truth, I now become your enemy.
Yeah.
Well, now that's human nature. You've got to understand human nature. And you have to be, I'm going to use the term, dispassionate, still in awe. We do have to be passionate about what we're doing, but in our tactics and in our approach, we have to be dispassionate. They're going to lose their cool because they've been programmed that way. We can't afford to lose our cool. Maybe many, many, many years, decades ago, we might have been fashioned by the system, education system, but we grew out of it. We educated ourselves, which is about the only way it could have been done, because as I said earlier, they don't teach this stuff. Right. You either find it or you don't. It's Jesus' old parable, the straight and the narrow.
Right.
Actually, it translates to narrow and narrower. Your right. chances of bumping into the truth accidentally on your own are almost zero, whereas your chances of being swamped by lies are just about 100% because lies are everywhere. These are the things we have to understand. It's just like that. And as far as, you know, people might bring up the Holocaust to me. And what I say is, well, yeah, it didn't happen exactly in that way. Something happened, but it didn't happen in exactly that way. And then I go immediately into, well, first of all, there were no gas chambers. And that one's easy to debunk. You got gas chambers with wooden doors and all that bullshit. But the thing of it is, when people get fed up, really fed up, and we're talking about most of the world now, unfortunately, we're not talking about the developed white countries yet.
Right.
They're getting there. When they wake up, they're not going to give a damn if 6 million Jews got gassed and burned. They're going to say, by God, Hitler had a pretty great idea there. That's what they're going to say.
That's right.
Exactly what they're going to say. And so I don't worry about it too much.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. Dave Gahari, your thoughts on you've been at this a long time of running into that brick wall of hubris when you're chewing their food, you're proven factually, you're back in their, to use a chess metaphor, you got their king in the corner, but they're not willing to bend it over. They're not willing to acknowledge checkmate, even though you've checkmated them.
Yeah, Les and I had a, was Les here today?
Yeah, Les was here, but he got pissed off and he took off. He went to,
Oh, yeah, he had to go on Eli. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, the fact that, because Les had to have his tooth pulled.
That's right. And he showed us the tooth again. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that got us on to a much longer discussion about the Canadian National Health Insurance and Medicare in the United States. Mm-hmm. And what we discussed was the fact that what I learned, I'm sure many other folks did as well, is that vision and dental are not covered procedures.
Right.
They do a few things. But also hearing. Now, our heads are kind of important to our health.
Of course.
We need to hear, see, and talk, and eat. But these motherfuckers would rather give all of the money to the Jews and to everybody else, and they could very easily, I'm talking about the United States and Canada, these pieces of shit, who are this psychopath class that always gravitates to positions of power, they would rather, instead of giving their citizens proper health care, get your eyes checked out. Yeah, they're important to you. Get your teeth. Yeah, sure, that's covered. Hearing, absolutely. Nope. Here's $1 trillion, Israel. Fuck you. But the issue is, we know this, but why aren't the goyim revolting? Why aren't the goyim going, you know what? I paid into this piece of shit my whole damn life.
Right.
Right? My whole damn life I paid into this. And they won't even cover my dental. My teeth are falling out. I can't see well because it doesn't cover it. I'm having a hearing problem. We've all had issues with these things throughout our lives. But why would they exclude those important parts of healthcare? Because they don't give a fuck about you. They want you to die. And all they do is serve their masters. So what I was saying in the show was, and you asked, what would I do? I don't give a fuck. I want their teeth to fall out. And every tooth that falls out, I want them to remember why their tooth is falling out. Why teeth are falling out of your stupid head. Because you're dumb. Because you don't demand that these motherfuckers in positions of power take care of you. You don't say anything about all the money Jews get. Jews have health care, housing, education, and you pay for it. And you still haven't figured that out. I want all your teeth to fall out. And then maybe you'll wake up.
You know what's so vital about that message, Dave, is when I had a bucket list, and one of the things I wanted to do in my life was to make $100,000 a year by the time I was 40. So I went against my better judgment. Actually, it turned out pretty cool. And I got into the sales for CD-ROM and rode the whole CD-ROM manufacturing boom of the 90s. And I was getting job offers from competitors all the time. And so what the Nimbus ownership did, they doubled my base. They gave me like gold standard health insurance, like zero deductible for everything, you know, medical, dental, eyeglasses. I mean, it was unbelievable. And that's only 30 years ago. And not, I mean, what the Kike has done to destroy, you know, even then, we still, those CD manufacturing plants were in North America. You know, they were all over Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And so still, it was still a real economy to press those discs. And yeah, it's crazy. I mean, in 30 years, you try and find a job that would do that today, Dave? No way.
They strip mined. They strip mined the entire country.
That's a
and
great
the citizens
word,
are still yeah. asleep.
Yeah, yeah, that's insane.
So I don't give a fuck. Look, a long time ago, I don't give a fuck. There was a time I did give a fuck.
Well, I remember I used to see you looking at people's teeth all the time. It's sad that you don't care anymore.
I don't do that anymore. You know, I look at their teeth and, you know, their eyes and their ears. But no, they deserve what's coming. And just, but really, it just hit me like a ton of bricks because I really don't use health insurance or doctors, fortunately. I'm healthy. But it hit me like a ton of bricks when I thought, why would they exclude vision, hearing, and dental from a health plan that you paid your whole life into? Those are so important. Why would they do that? Because they can give the money to Israel, to Egypt, to Afghanistan, to Somalia, to every fucking country in the world except their own people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly right, Dave. Exactly right. So let's go back to the ladies and their brilliant concept of Fash Academy for Nazi newbies. So, you know, we're coming to the end of this show, and next second Friday we'll work it out a little bit more ahead of time. I it was my fault. I didn't. I kind of let it open ended, but now that I see how the flow goes, we can kind of create a certain couple of topics each second Friday. But hearing what Dave has to say, and is that what drove you ladies to try and wake people up and chew the food for these goofs? Because it's so egregious, these kike lies, and yet, oh, they eat babies? It's like unreal.
To some extent, although I did want to say to Dave, you know, you mentioned the eyes, ears, you know, hearing, teeth, etc. Think about it this way. See no, hear no, speak no evil against the
There you go.
But, I mean, realistically, I know 90% of people aren't going to wake the fuck up. They're just not. But I can't not try. That's my big thing. I can't not try. I don't have it in me to just...
I'm the same way, yeah.
Throw all white people away. So this is just, you know, what effort I can contribute. I mean, when it comes down to it, I don't have a lot of expertise in a lot of anything, but I want to help however I can. That was my biggest driving force. We homeschool, so I was like, I'm all about learning online, and that kind of helped feed into it. And luckily got to, you know, meet Fashbird and get together with her on this project. So it's been amazing.
That's really so, Fashbird. Why have you jumped into this? What was the fire in your belly?
My children. Even though I'm not welcomed into my family's homes, I still want to look out for them. I still love them. I love my children. I see what's coming. I see the train heading towards the brick wall.
Yeah.
I want to try to stop it as much as possible. So, I mean, I've got nothing but time. I'm going to push it and push it and push it until, I mean, they either throw me in prison or 6 feet under, I guess.
Totally respect that. Completely respect that. Well, hey, let's we're down the final 4 minutes. We can go a little longer, of course, but let's start with you, Fashbird. Your final thoughts and closing statement.
Well, I think we can be grateful that they're actually waking more people up by just acting the way they normally do. That's waking a lot of people up. That's doing a lot of work for us. And I think that's going to make a prime time for us to come in and to start at the very bottom of National Socialism with the tribalism, their natural law. We need to get people to be proud again of their ancestry, and their heritage. And I know we'll get there. We will get there. That's just natural law. The strong will survive. We will beat them, and we'll have our own homeland again.
Oh, fantastic. Very inspirational. Non-Kosher Salt, just again, you and Fashbird are the rising stars of FTJ Pro and FTJ. It's the work you guys are doing is just so impressive, and you literally kind of came out of nowhere. It's really cool. And so your closing statements.
Never, ever, ever forget knowledge is power, and that is something we as a people have been lacking for a long time. So let's keep passing out the knowledge just like it's ammunition.
Excellent idea. Excellent. Oh, by the way, tell everybody when your shows are on weekly on FTJ Pro.
All right. So weekly we have Fash Academy for Nazi Neophytes every Monday at 5:30. Tuesdays is kind of a rotating, you know, we have different panels we do. Like we've had the Monica and Kathleen and Fashbird do a women's, where we talk like girly women stuff on the first Tuesday. Not girly, but specific to women in the movement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different things to just help our people refine their roots, refine their culture. Again, that's also arming our people with a different kind of ammunition. And then Wednesdays, I do the Ashen Ether Pagan Stream, also 5:30. And just, again, find your roots and empower yourself as a white person. So.
Oh, very inspirational. Let's next go to the big kahuna, Dave Gahara. Your final thoughts, Dave?
I thought the big kahuna was that team of James and Paul. Those are the big kahunas. I'm nothing.
All right. They're the big kahunas.
Yeah.
We're the old kahunas.
Nah, you guys look great. You guys look great. First of all, I want to apologize for barging in here without properly acknowledging the theme of the show.
No problem, Dave. We're flexible.
Well, I mean, I am the big kahuna.
You are the big kahuna?
Yeah. what is a big kahuna? Great stuff, great shows that the ladies are putting on. And, yeah, knowledge is everything. That's right. NKS said that. And that's what we are attracted to. And, we got to keep doing it. We can't give up, right? And we're just going to keep fighting. And, we're not going to, as they say, there's a saying about, living on your knees, right? And dying on your feet, right?
Right.
We're going to die on our feet. We're not going to get on our knees for anyone. That's what Goyim do. All those politicians get on their knees for your money, obviously. And they betray us.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is the Jews are being hunted down now, right? You saw the synagogue in Michigan. You saw the Jews in New York City being chased and hounded. This is going to increase dramatically, and they're going to self-exile and worse for them. So we need to get them out because it's a biological infestation, as we all know. It's been explained by people for thousands of years, even before the birth of Christ. They were lamenting this particular organism, and it's either us or them. And that's become more and more clear to pretty much the whole damn world. When you slaughter 500,000 women and children with no remorse, I mean, shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's fucking, it's so large. The crime is so large, it's almost unbelievable. And they got away with it for now. But when the books are written, and when it's handicapped and analyzed, there's just going to be more hell to pay for these motherfuckers.
Yes.
And that's what I do. I get up every day and think about how I'm going to hurt them. And I kind of like that.
I love it.
That's my life. So it's great to see you all. And thank you for allowing me to barge in. Hope you have a great weekend. And again, I'll know this week if I'm going to be able to make it to West Virginia, but it might not happen. And it's nothing serious. It's just perfunctory matters at home and school stuff. So we'll see. But thank you.
No, I hope you can, because, I mean, that lineup is a stellar lineup. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, of course.
Exactly. And I have to depart now. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I cut somebody off? I'm sorry.
No. That was just me.
Okay.
All right, Dave. As always, an honor to have you pop in, and never need to apologize, because you're the big kahuna. By the way,
for
education's sake, the big kahuna is a spiritual shaman in Polynesia or Hawaii. That's
terrific. I used to live in Hawaii. Kahuna. I should have known that. I'm waiting for NKS's salute before I depart.
All right.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Good one. All right.
Double. Have a great weekend, everyone.
great. Thanks.
All right. Paul Fromm, your final thoughts, and what an honor it is for you to join the show, by the way.
Oh, I think the work all of us are doing in our own way is so very important. I see the head of the ADL was talking to Wolf Blitzer, I think it was yesterday, and he was saying, it's so terrible the way people are stereotyping and blaming Jews in the United States for what's happening in the Middle East. It's not people shouldn't be blamed. It's not their fault. Well, he's playing fast and loose, of course.
Of course.
There are a tiny number of Jews who are not pro-Israel. That's fine. They're not to blame. But if you're a Zionist and you're a supporter of the state of Israel and they're on this psychopathic murder campaign against Iran, killing the leadership, bombing indiscriminately. If you're a Zionist, you're part of this. It's certainly fair to hold you accountable. Anyway,
Those of us who are able to think about these things, I think we should, you know, we're using our influence, and I'm very happy about that.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's really cool with Les getting the award, the Orwell Award. So when is that happening again?
On the 26th of this month.
Oh, fantastic. That's so cool. All right. Thank you again, Paul. I hope you have a great weekend. And let's go to our legendiest of legends, the one and only James Mason, for the final word.
Okay, well, you know, there was a Texan leaving church one Sunday morning, and he stopped to talk to the pastor, and he said, "That was a damn good sermon, preacher, damn good." And I'll just say it's been a damn good show, and I'm proud and happy to have been on here with all of you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's so, so wonderful to meet legends like yourself and Paul and younger women who are making themselves legends by having the courage to join this fight when it's so vital. And there's no better reason to do it than a couple of mama bears who want to give their children a future. So, you know, thanks to Dave Gahari. Thanks to James Mason, Paul Fromm, Fashbird, Non-Kosher Salt. You guys are the best. And if Eli were here, he would lead us in prayer, but he's not, so I'll do it.
Fuck the Jew.
Fuck the Jew. And everybody have a great weekend. Don't forget that between live and archive shows, you know, we've gone well over 2 million views for the archive shows in the first year, and we're growing. And so I know Dave just had a big powwow with our back-end server guys, so it should be getting even better. I guess we're going to be doing another expansion soon. And so, you know, it's insane and it's frustrating, like everybody said, but this was a great show because, you know, that famous saying, Dave, better to die on your feet than live on your knees. And sadly, you look at all these woke Bolshevik 2.0 commies like this ridiculous insurrection going on presently in Virginia. But guess what? The early results from rural Virginia are landslide. No, you Soros commie scum traitors. No, we're not going to gerrymander. So almost every congressional district goes through Fairfax Communist County. So people are waking up. And, I mean, you cannot see what the vile kike has done in this genocide. You cannot see what the vile kike has done to the minds and bodies of all these trannies. By the way, we'll have to cover this next week. There's a massive implosion of regret and remorse from all these trannies who thought it was a cool thing to do during Biden administration. And now there's a massive, massive wave of having the surgery for especially women who went to be men. But you know what? They cut off their breasts. They added a little meat burrito, weird thing swinging between their legs. And now you can't go back because you sterilized yourself. And that's the evil of the kike. And it's sad. But you know what? All we can do is wake people up. The truth will set you free. And not the lies of Martin Luther King and his commie handlers, but the real truth, which is that next to Jesus Christ, Adolf Hitler is the most lied about hero of the modern era. And we're gonna not give that up. FTJ is growing. We've got all these great new hosts and more coming aboard every week. So, you know, hail victory, C. Kyle. You guys have a great weekend. It was weird. 2 days ago, I was walking our boy Huskies down by the harbor, and it was 85 degrees. Yesterday, it was 35 and snowing. So it's weird how March vacillates, but supposed to be warming up a little more. I want to just say, everybody, don't give up. We can never give up. And, you know, we have to win this because what is the alternative? A one world government controlled by child raping, child torturing, child sacrificing, child eating kikes? I think not. So I'll give it. Let's do it a live one. Fuck the Jew. And we'll see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. All right.